Various reports show that in recent years another avowed Satanist cult, Wicca, has conducted vigorous recruiting drives. This is witchcraft. Wicca, according to initiates, is an Anglo-Saxon word meaning to bend or shape, reality to their will by means of magic. Father Matthew Fox, founder and director of the Institute for Culture and Creation Spirituality in California, had a witch star hawk working with him for a long time. In her book, Truth or Dare, on page 6, Star Hawk defined magic as the art that ruptures the fabric of our beliefs. So it does more than bend or shape. Their Wiccan rituals are supposed to tap the goddess power. Star Hawk calls the goddess movement a new age revival of witchcraft. Fox, in his book Cosmic Christ, uses the term Christ as a generic title, as theosophists do. He asks if the fact that the Christ became incarnate in Jesus must exclude the Christ becoming so in others. He holds that the world is being called to a new post-denominational, even post-Christian belief system that sees the earth as a living being, mythologically as Gaia, Mother Earth, with mankind as her consciousness. In Cardinal Ratzinger's words, Catholic feminists are actually practicing another religion. It is a goddess religion, witchcraft. For many, it is worship of the planet as Gaia, a living mother goddess. In the Bible, Elijah's victory over the pagan prophets of Baal saved the traditional religion at a critical time. But a biblical gloss also adds that he also defeated at that time 400 prophets of Asherah, described as a Phoenician goddess of love and fecundity. Her symbol was a sacred pole bearing her name. Canaanite practice had corrupted the Hebrews with fertility rites that involved sacred prostitution. No doubt Jezebel, who was responsible for this corruption, could be described as a leading feminist of her day. A Wicca convention was held in Mexico in 1981, where they used the word also to stand for the Witches International Coven Council Association. The Texas Department of Public Safety put out a warning concerning the listed 7 goals of that Wiccan convention. Some of those goals had been declared accomplished at the convention, namely the education of New Age youth by infiltrating youth clubs, by infiltrating schools, having prayer removed, having teachers teach about sex, drugs, and freedom, instigating rebellion against parents and all the authority, promoting equal rights for youth and children. Also, the goal of gaining access to all people's backgrounds and vital information by use of computers was claimed to be accomplished. Not yet accomplished were the goals of removing children from their home environment and placing them in what was called our foster homes, and the mandatory placement of children in our daycare centers. Also not yet accomplished were the goals of open drug and pornography markets for everyone and increased taxation. At the convention, they also claimed to have united black and white witchcraft, and most deadly of all, in 1986, a Sheriff Guerin discovered that they had secretly sanctioned human sacrifice. A feminist organization, Witch, formed in the 60s, took its acronym from its name in full, Women's International Terrorist Corps from Hell. On June the 1st, 1969, the New York Times Sunday magazine showed them wearing witch regalia while demonstrating in New York City. It was revealed to Senator Thomas J. Dodd's Internal Security Subcommittee in Washington by a Moscow-trained student that he, along with 200 other African students, had been trained in witchcraft at the University of Moscow in the winter of 1960. The Wicca people's concern to have schools infiltrated in order to have sex, drugs, and freedom taught to children is a concern shared by the Luchas Trust, originally founded as the Luciferian Trust. Its members have been among the most active proponents of every form of satanic cultural subversion, including forcing sex education curricula throughout the United States public school system. One of the aims is that homosexuality and promiscuity should be accepted as alternate lifestyles to the traditional family life. The Detroit News of October 1, 1990 had a piece by the nationally syndicated columnist Thomas Sowell in which he wrote, "Breaking down inhibitions is the first order of business. That is why so-called sex education courses go on for years in some schools. It does not take that long to convey the facts of life, but it does take that long to relentlessly undermine what children have been taught at home." End of quote. Today, the Luchas Trust is the best organized United Nations accredited Satan cult, spreading worship of Lucifer and operating out of the United Nations in New York and out of the Episcopal Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York. The Luchas Trust runs the only religious chapel at the United Nations headquarters called the Temple of Understanding. Prominent front organizations sponsored by the Luchas Trust include the Theosophical Society, founded by Madame Helena Blavatsky in 1875, the Theosophical Order of Service, founded by Annie Besant in 1908, the United Nations Association, the World Wildlife Fund UK, the Findhorn Foundation, Greenpeace, International Greenpeace USA, Amnesty International, the Nicholas Roerich Society, Chief Connection to Russian Mysticism, the Rudolf Steiner School, UNESCO, UNICEF, the American Friends Service Committee. Leading sponsors of the Luchas Trust include the following prominent figures and institutions: Henry Clausen, former Supreme Grand Commander of the Supreme Council, 33rd Degree Southern District Scottish Rite Freemasons, John D. Rockefeller IV, the Rockefeller Foundation, Norman Cousins, the Marshall Field family, Robert S. McNamara, head of the World Bank, and reported in the Manchester Union Leader in 1963 in an article by Edith Roosevelt as a practicing Luciferian occultist. Also included Thomas Watson, Jr., former U.S. Ambassador to Moscow, U. Alexis Johnson, former U.S. Ambassador to Thailand, Rabbi Mark Tenenbaum, American Jewish Committee, and the United Lodge of Theosophists of New York City. The goals of the Luchas Trust include the establishment of a new world order, a new world religion, and a new world leader. They have a pagan pantheon whom they would substitute for God, which includes, besides Lucifer, what they refer to as an external hierarchy of ascended masters. They believe that their plan is directed by so-called higher intelligence or the hierarchy. The Arcane School, affiliated to the Luchas Trust, is mentioned in Alice Bailey's unfinished autobiography, page 286, as possessing theosophists and Rosicrucians, as well as Christian scientists and churchmen of every denomination, Protestant and Catholic. The Luchas Trust is the nerve center of the occult planning basis of the New Age movement and enjoys tax-exempt status in the USA. The reference to Catholic churchmen is very interesting in the light of a letter dated July 1, 1926 from 171 Palace Chambers, Westminster, London, according to which the name of the Theosophical News Bureau was given as officially authorized to issue statements on behalf of the Theosophical Society, the Theosophical Educational Trust, the Theosophical World University, the Order of the Star of the East, the Order of Universal Co-Freemasonry, and most interesting of all, the Liberal Catholic Church. See Occult Theocracy by Lady Queenborough, page 533. The Luchas Trust owns copyright to Alice Bailey's writings and has translated her works into many languages. In 1934, the occultist Alice Bailey wrote, "Eventually there will appear the Church Universal, and its definite outlines will appear towards the close of this century." the three main channels through which the preparation for the new age is going on might be regarded as the church, the Masonic fraternity, and the educational field. The Masonic movement will meet the needs of those who can and should wield power. It is the custodian of the law. It is the home of the mysteries and the seat of initiation. It holds in its symbolism the ritual of deity and the way of salvation. End of quote. Alice Bailey claimed that she got all her inspiration from what she called her spirit guide or masters, who were supposed to inhabit the high places in Tibet. Her Tibetan master Kul was supposedly a reincarnation of Confucius. In her The Rays and the Initiation, she refers to the coming one as Sanat, which is obviously the word Satan with rearranged letters. Constance Cumby, in her book on the New Age entitled The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, points out that a New Age belief is that at the start of every age, New Age, the solar logos or Sanat Kumara sends the Christ who overshadows a human being, imparting through that possessed individual to the world new revelation to help them through the coming new age. The trouble is, of course, that they intend to make this initiation compulsory for everybody and eventually eliminate all who won't go along with it. Alice Bailey wrote in 1950, "Once the disciple has taken the necessary steps, the response of the angel is sure, automatic, and all-enveloping. Complete obliteration of the personal self in three successive stages is the immediate and normal result. This occult waxing and waning is portrayed for us in the sign of Gemini. When this occult obliteration has taken place, what then is the destiny of the disciple? It is complete control by the soul, solar angel, and this in practice connotes group service and eventually group initiation." End of quote. Glamour, A World Problem, 1950. This essential message of the New Age is described quite candidly by David Spangler in his Reflections on the Christ, where he writes, "Lucifer is the angel of man's inner light. Lucifer, like Christ, stands at the door of man's consciousness and knocks. Each of us in some way is brought to that point which I term the Luciferic initiation. Lucifer comes to give us the final gift of wholeness. If we accept it, then he is free and we are free. That is Luciferic initiation. It is the one that many people now and in the days ahead will be facing, but it is an initiation into the New Age." End of quote. David Spangler is a prominent New Age leader who is co-director of the New Age Findhorn Foundation in Scotland, described by some as the Vatican City of the New Age movement, and of course one of the organizations sponsored by the Luchas Trust. David Spangler is now president of the Canadian Lorien Association, an offshoot of Findhorn. He is also a member of the board of directors of Planetary Citizens, as are Peter Caddy, founder of Findhorn. Endorsers of Planetary Citizens include Father Theodore Hesburgh, who is president of the University of Notre Dame, who was an advisory board member of the World Federalist Association and a CFR director and chairman of the Rockefeller Foundation. In 1980, author Marilyn Ferguson published her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, Personal and Social Transformation in the 1980s. She was in favor of the New Age movement and described it as a revolution now underway, with legions of conspirators linked by subtle signals and code words who amplify the activities of the conspiracy by networking through the national media and school curriculum. Ferguson wrote about people being changed everywhere, in business, religion, leisure and sport. On pages 18 and 34 she wrote, "Perhaps by integrating magic and science, art and technology, it will succeed. The transformation process, however alien it may seem at first, soon feels irrevocably right. Whatever the initial misgivings, once this journey has begun in earnest, there is nothing that can dissuade. No political movement, no organized religion commands a greater loyalty." End of quote. The initial misgiving seems to refer to the last pangs of conscience when a former Christian is initiated into the occult. It reminds one of a quotation from the Jewish Encyclopedia, already quoted in the previous tape of this series, that stated, "Magic, at first approached with fear, likewise loses its terrifying aspects as the circle of its disciples enlarges." The same thing happened in the case of Gnosticism, which was itself largely coloured by magic. Also, the Jewish Encyclopedia stated, "Crockmel and after him Joel have already pointed out Gnostic doctrines in the Zohar. Further investigations will show the relationship of Gnosticism to the Kabbalah, as well as that of both to magic in general." End of quote. The very real dangers of the New Age movement are manifested in the very terminology that they employ. They speak of a spirit who overshadows a human being, necessary steps taken that result in the complete obliteration of the personal self, according to Alice Bailey. It is Luciferic initiation into the New Age, according to David Spangler, and however alien it may seem at first, soon it feels irrevocably right, according to Ferguson. And once this journey has begun in earnest, there is nothing that can dissuade. No political movement, no organized religion commands a greater loyalty. Obviously, with satanic involvement, it is a journey that leads to hell if persevered with. Consequently, it is of the utmost importance that innocent people should be warned about the dozens of entranceways that are proudly enumerated in books promoting the New Age. Marilyn Ferguson, in her The Aquarian Conspiracy, wrote of what she called trigger experiences as being instrumental in bringing about personal change. Among the triggers listed are biofeedback, music, meditation, gestalt therapy, hypnosis, self-hypnosis, silver mind control methods, primal therapy, the martial arts. From pages 85 to 87, she lists Zen, Buddhism, yoga, Christian mysticism journals and dream journals, psychosynthesis, Jungian therapy, transcendental meditation, Tibetan Buddhism, transactional analysis, and Sufism. As Jesus warned in the Gospel, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are who enter that way. How narrow the gate and close the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 13-14. Any baptized Catholic who would turn to Sufism, for example, would certainly have left the narrow path to life and would have embarked on the broad road to destruction. What some sources inform us about Sufism will make this very clear. Sufism is a heterodox Islamic mystical sect teaching that God is everything in the universe, and consequently everything is God. This is the sheer pantheism of the Jewish Kabbalah, and there is an interesting link mentioned in the Jewish Encyclopedia of 1905 when dealing with the Zohar, the principal work of the Kabbalah. The Jewish Encyclopedia states that the Zohar contains a complete Kabbalistic theosophy, not the work of a single author, and a close relationship to Hinduism is cited. Well, quote, "It is necessary to ascertain where and when the Jews became intimately acquainted with the Hindu philosophy, which more than any other exercised an influence on the Zohar. The Mohammedan Sufis had similar doctrines. All these sects had their sacred writings, which they kept secret, and these writings probably form the nucleus of the Zohar." End of quote. New Age Sufi infiltration of the Catholic Church has come about through a system of personality classification called the Enneagram, reputed to be a treasured secret oral tradition of the mystic masters of Sufism in Afghanistan. It came to the West after the Russian Revolution, or earlier, according to some. According to World Faiths, spring 1978, Hazrat Inayat Khan came from India in 1910 and held that the aim of the Sufi message as brought to the Western world was to connect the two lines of prophetic vision, the Hindu line and that of Beni Israel, called the Brown Jews of Bombay, Calcutta, and Malabar, in order that they can become the medium to unite in God truth from both East and West, that same truth which embodies the wisdom of all the ages under different forms and religions. One can see that this fits in perfectly with the syncretism, the common world religion, called for by the United Nations Organization in its plans for a one world government. As Hinduism is one of the oldest forms of devil worship, it would lead to the reign of the Antichrist. It is claimed that the central teaching for Sufism in Europe was at Geneva. The South American psychiatrist Oscar Icazo played a big part in the spread of the Sufi Enneagram system. Dr. Simon O'Byrne, OFM, psychologist and director of Adam and Eve Counseling Centre, Dublin, in his paper, The Enneagram, A Questionable System of Personality Classification, states that Oscar Icazo is regarded by many as the discoverer of the Enneagram. He studied mysticism in Tibet, India, Hong Kong, and he also studied psychedelic drugs, shamanism, and yoga, and he claimed that he received instructions from an entity called Metatron, the prince of the archangel. End of quote. The reference to Metatron is a real giveaway. According to the Jewish Encyclopedia, Metatron is the prince of this world, the demiurge in the Kabbalah and Talmud. He is the same as the Zoroastrian sun god Mithra. For them, God is a formless lump without any attributes called Ensof, who could not will any creation. So Metatron, defined in the Zohar as a little lower than God, presides over 10 classes of angels and is the ruler spirit of this universe. He was changed into fire, the sun god. This is why the New Age Luciferians worship the sun in place of God, but practice lunar festivals, because they can stare at the moon's reflected sunlight without being blinded. Oscar Icazo, who studied mysticism in Tibet as well as in other places, is stated to be a master who is in contact with previous masters of the esoteric school, just like Alice Bailey, who claimed that she got all her inspiration from her spirit guide or master inhabiting the high places in Tibet. Donna Steichen, in her book On Godly Rage, Ignatius Press, San Francisco, 1991, writes that Icazo reintroduced the Enneagram to the United States in the 1970s by way of the Esalen Institute, California, and Psychology Today magazine. Claudia Narano of Esalen established a nationwide network of small Enneagram groups. One of his early students was Father Robert Ox, S.J., who introduced it to his religious experience classes at the Jesuits' Loyola University in Chicago. According to Donna Steichen, the fad spread quickly among Jesuits, who else, and then to other religious orders, becoming, as she said, an important element in the seduction of Catholics into the New Age movement. She also wrote, "Today, fascination with the Enneagram has replaced concern about sanctifying grace at retreat houses, in adult education classes, spiritual formation sessions, and everywhere else where avant-garde nuns, priests, and lay people gather. The Enneagram symbol is a circle surrounding a nine-pointed star, which believers hold represents the nine personality types into which all human beings can be sorted." Steichen says that, oddly, they are all considered to be false personalities, defense mechanisms that conceal compulsive neurosis, a negative theory that leads to personality being defined as compulsive neurosis, says Steichen, with the consequence that sin cannot be seen as a free act for which the sinner is culpable. One of the myths of this system is the claim that the 9 points of the Enneagram are the nine faces of God, and upside down, the nine faces of evil. This is the language of occult theocracy. Dr. O'Byrne's paper states that Icazo claimed that our developed defense mechanisms give us the ego, Satan in one's life, and that we should remove this ego and return to one's divine essence. Obviously, the aim is to trigger off that journey steeped in Luciferic initiation. Icazo believed in Gnostic Kabbalist reincarnation and the importance of drugs. He denied original sin and free will until one had reached certain stages of enlightenment, which is supposed to be acquired from the Enneagram. The American priest, Father Matthew Fox, tried to spread this type of enlightenment. He lectured in Dublin in 1990. His program is designed to change one's consciousness and to replace the context of faith, sacraments, doctrine, prayer, etc. As in Sufism, dances play an important part in Fox's program. He also echoes the pantheism of the Sufis. He calls his approach to religion panentheism, which does not accept the transcendence of God. The view that there is no transcendent, no truth beyond this world, that reality is evolution, that there is no distinction between the natural and supernatural, is an essential component of Marxism. According to Eric Voegelin, all the Gnostic movements are involved in the project of abolishing the constitution of being with its origin in divine, transcendent being, and replacing it with a world immanent order of being, the perfection of which lies in the realm of human action. And as immense damage must have been done to the Catholic Church in America through the spread of the Enneagram from Loyola University, there is at least some hope for the future in the fact that the same Enneagram has been condemned from that same source. Dr. Simon O'Byrne informs us that Dr. Mitch Pacwa, S.J., who has studied the Enneagram for many years and who is currently Professor of Sacred Scripture and Hebrew at Loyola University, has stated that, 1, the Enneagram personality theory is steeped in the occult, 2, it has no scientific evidence to support its claim of validity, 3, it exposes those who are strong in the faith to be diverted from the central aspects of their faith, 4, the Enneagram does not teach repentance and atonement for sins. 5. It does not emphasize the need of the supernatural, of prayer and live charity. In an article about the Enneagram in the St. Louis Review of October 9, 1992, Elizabeth Wimmer, staff writer, wrote, Father Pacwa has led the charge of late to debunk the New Age movement, throwing in the Enneagram with horoscopes and tarot cards, and he claims that the personality portion of the system was created in the 1960s. Also, in an article published in The New Covenant, Father Pacwa wrote, remember that this inner dynamic of the six-pointed figure and of the triangle is rooted in occultism. For a baptized Catholic who, in the words of St. Peter, has escaped from the corruption that is in the world and has become a partaker of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, any return to the corruption of occultism is tragic. William Wedler, director of the New Age Resource Center, organized by lay Catholics in St. Louis, sends out material warning Christians about the Enneagram. He calls it a gateway method to involvement in the New Age movement. In Ireland, the Enneagram is used extensively in adult education courses, often under Catholic diocesan supervision. Dr. Simon O'Byrne, OFM, concludes his paper on the Enneagram with the following observation. In my professional practice, I have met more clients who were confused and distressed having attended an Enneagram seminar than clients who felt it had a positive, enlightening value leading to greater holiness for them. Oscar Icazo had called for the removal of developed defense mechanisms, the ego, with a consequent return to our divine essence. By doing this, New Agers are supposed to inherit godlike powers. A new root race of supermen and women is supposed to be the result. Utopia will be achieved. Icazo had studied Eastern mysticism and psychedelic drugs. As Dr. O'Byrne pointed out, Icazo believed in the importance of drugs. Constance Cumby, in her Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, page 21, has this. Interestingly enough, in the Aquarian Conspiracy, Marilyn Ferguson comes flat out and makes an admission that the purpose of the LSD circulation in this country, America, was to get people open, to get their channels open, so that they would have what she called a religious experience. But this is nothing more than possession. End of quote. In Randy England's book, The Unicorn in the Sanctuary, page 123, he notes, the New Age movement's propensity for the use of drugs in altering consciousness in their victims, thus serving as a shortcut to mystical occult experiences. He also notes how LSD was popularized in the 60s, quote, the same occult meditative states that normally require extended practice to achieve are effortlessly attained through drug use, end of quote. One could say you can go to the devil effortlessly through LSD. But from where did LSD come originally? The answer to that is interesting. Dr. Albert Hoffman, who was a member of a Swiss group of Sufis, first synthesized LSD about 1928 at the Swiss Sandoz laboratory. It was called LSD-25, as it was the 25th variety he developed. He was supposed to have accidentally absorbed some through his fingers, and the result of all this was that the Sufis began to use LSD-25 in their ceremonies in the post-war period. Widespread experimentation with drugs linked with promiscuity and rock music really took off in the 60s. Some of the root causes of this explosion are known. Former Harvard professor Timothy Leary, high priest of the drug culture, combined with Aldous Huxley, one of the prophets of the New Age, who wrote many books promoting the drug culture. They produced a manual for the drug culture taken from the Tibetan Book of the Dead. That book, in its original form, purported to be a guide for the soul of the recently died, but the Leary-Huxley version is a guide for the LSD user, urging that he or she accept the death of the ego. Leary had once complained about Judeo-Christian commitment to one God, one religion, one reality that had, as he said, cursed Europe for centuries and America since our founding days. He claimed that drugs that open the mind to multiple realities inevitably lead to a polytheistic view of the universe. The time for a new humanist religion based on intelligent, good-natured pluralism and scientific paganism had arrived, he claimed. What had arrived was the beginning of a particularly diabolical attack on youth, especially through drug trafficking inextricably connected with Satanism. It was organized by the people who sold the idea that the use of LSD and other psychedelic drugs liberated the mind from the tyranny of strictures of reason and morality that prevented coherent thought and thus opened the mind to what they called reality. The spread of drug consumption as a mass phenomenon among young people would not have been possible without the recruiting efforts of the example and many of the songs of the rock stars. Virtually all of them glorified drug consumption and took drugs. John Lennon of the Beatles in 1966 began studying Timothy Leary's version of the Tibetan Book of the Dead and other works and became a heavy LSD user, and through the efforts of Yoko Ono also became deeply involved in occultism. The rock stars were artificial media creations. Their public image and music was fabricated behind the scenes by controllers. When the Beatles first came to the USA in 1964, the screaming teenage girls that met them had all been transported from a girls' school in the Bronx and were paid for their screaming performance. The Beatles' song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, L for Lucy, S for Sky, and D for Diamonds, stood for LSD. The Rolling Stones were more explicit with Sister Morphine, Cousin Cocaine, and Brown Sugar, while Silver Lady was the hypodermic needle. The satanic connection was also present. Beatle record jackets featured photographs of arch Satanist Aleister Crowley, who once headed the most powerful satanic cult, the Ordo Templi Orientis. Mick Jagger's theme song, Sympathy for the Devil, was part of his inspiration from Aleister Crowley, Jagger claimed. Satanic rock, heavy metal, crawls with invitations to satanic cults, suicide and murder. Between 1955 and 1985, teenage suicides in America increased by 300%, while adult suicide rates remained stationary. It is a problem in Europe also. The New Age promotion of the transmigration of souls idea tempts young people to try for a better life by suicide. The British punk rock group Kiss claim that the name stands for Knights in the Service of Satan. The more sinister aspects of the drug culture are revealed with what happened in San Francisco in the early 60s under the codename MKUltra. A joint CIA-British intelligence task force ran a project calling for free distribution of 5,000 tablets of LSD to a commune known as Kinkesi's Merry Pranksters. Kinkesi was a convicted drug felon. Author Robert Santelli, in his book Aquarius Rising, writes, LSD was in abundance at the Monterey Festival. Later at the Woodstock Festival, nearly 500,000 youth would be drugged and brainwashed. Later still at the Altamont Festival, with over 400,000 attending, Mick Jagger, playing the part of Lucifer, turned it into literally a satanic orgy. At its conclusion, four people were dead and dozens beaten and injured, and one of the hit songs, Their Satanic Majesty's Request. As the National Criminal Justice Task Force on Occult-Related Ritualistic Crimes reported, the unholy alliance of illegal drugs and the occult is very real. By the time the 90s arrived, it was being reported in the USA that the spread of drugs, pornography and Satanism had reached epidemic proportions. Drug abuse is a worldwide problem also. In November 92, the European Community proclaimed a week for the prevention of drug abuse. Coinciding with the end of that week, the Pope warned all the youth against drug abuse. He said, Christ gave you life, don't waste it. Fight against the seductive appeal of all drugs. Faced with the threats of a culture of death, be apostles of the culture of life. It was reported in the Irish newspaper The Democrat of October 11, 1992 that a warning had been issued in several Dublin parish bulletins recently alerting parents and teachers to drug-laced tattoos which had been sold to school children. One such tattoo, called the Blue Star, which consists of a sheet of paper containing blue stars, is soaked with LSD, and it is claimed that the drug can be absorbed through the skin simply by handling the paper. The Irish Sunday Press of 15th November 92 reported in an article under the heading Drug Dealers Target Children. In it, Christopher Murphy, coordinator of the Catholic Social Services Conference's Drug Awareness Program, is quoted as saying, "The demand for our services has mushroomed out of all proportion, especially in national schools. They start out taking alcohol and cigarettes, then progress to cannabis and solvents, with ecstasy, LSD and speed next in the league. LSD is being sold on sheets of paper to kids who put it between their lips. Also, according to Murphy, ecstasy at £25 a pop is the fastest growing teenage drug in this country. A drug squad spokesman conceded, it has got a hold among young people," end of quote. Jesus said in the gospel, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man," chapter 24 of Matthew's gospel, verse 37. In the time of Noah, as we know, the world had gone very seriously wrong, a time characterized by active human involvement with the demonic, apparently, the occult, with inevitable harvest of abominable crime and violence. God told Noah, "The end has come for all things of the flesh. I have decided this because the earth is full of violence of man's making, and I will efface them from the earth. Make yourself an ark," Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. Despite that greatest of chastisements, and there are abundant scientific proofs of that great flood, the lesson has not been learned, especially by humanity today. On July 30, 1986, her Heavenly Mother gave a warning, one of many, to Padre Gobbi, in which she said, "There is happening today what happened at the time of the flood, and no one gives heed to what awaits him." Her appeal to mankind was then, "I am the Ark of the New Covenant." And she points out, "Those whom the Lord destined to be saved at the time of the flood entered into the Ark of Noah, whereas to be saved from what God is going to do in our times, it is necessary to enter into the protection of her Immaculate Heart, what she calls the Ark of the New Covenant and of salvation for these times of the punishment." Shortly after, on September 6, 1986, at Akita in Japan, another message of Our Lady to Father Gobbi qualified that punishment. It would be worse than the flood. Fire will come down from heaven. It cannot be disputed that the great miracle of the sun, pre-announced by Our Lady, that took place at Fatima on October 30, 1917, seemed indeed to the approximately 70,000 people who witnessed it as if fire was coming down from heaven. One of the witnesses was Dr. Emilia Garrett, professor of the Faculty of Sciences of the University of Coimbra, who described the climax of the event as follows: a cry of anguish breaking out from all the people. The sun, whirling wildly, seemed to loosen itself from the firmament and advance threateningly upon the earth as if to crush us with its huge and fiery weight. The sensation during those moments was terrible. That day had been raining since dawn. The crowd assembled were very wet, as was the ground, but suddenly, just before the miracle, the clouds disappeared without the slightest breeze, and the sun could be seen in a clear sky. After the miracle, all those people who were, for the most part, soaked found that they were now perfectly dry. Avelino de Almeida, managing editor of the anti-clerical Lisbon newspaper O Século, had in that morning edition discounted the possibility of a miracle taking place at Fatima on that day, but he was present when it happened and reported it fully on the front page of O Século with such words as, quote, "a unique and unbelievable sight if one had not witnessed it. The attitude of the people took us back to biblical times. With bared heads and full of terror, they gazed at the sky. The sun trembled and made some abrupt movements never seen before and outside all the laws of the universe. The sun danced," was how the peasants described it. It only remains for those competent to do justice to the bewildering dance of the sun, which on this day in Fatima caused hosannas to resound from the hearts of all the faithful present, and naturally made a great impression, as people worthy of belief assured me, on the free thinkers and others without any religious conviction who had come to this now famous spot, located on the poor pasture land high up on the Sierra. End of quote. This was printed on the 15th of October 1917. Other papers carried it in detail also. In the course of time, justice to the bewildering dance of the sun was done by those competent to do so. A formal favorable decision on the great Fatima event was given by the Catholic Church. One of the most interesting aspects of the miracle of the sun of Fatima on October 13, 1917, was that, according to the reports of the event, the sun threw out great shafts of multiple colored light that flooded the sky, the landscape, and the people's clothing. It was reported the sun took on all the colors of the rainbow. Father Lorenzo testified that objects took on different colors depending on their locations. Objects around us turned all the colors of the rainbow. We saw ourselves blue, yellow, red, etc. We know from the 9th chapter of Genesis in the Old Testament that God made the rainbow the emblem or sign of his new covenant with Noah. God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between myself and every living thing that is found on the earth. There shall no more be waters of a flood to destroy all flesh." But what will befall mankind when that everlasting covenant with God has been seriously broken and mankind turns instead to a covenant with the devil? Is not that the real danger of the rainbow, and it is not a hidden danger now? The rainbow in the 90s is the favorite New Age symbol, and while the Christian rainbow has six colors, the occultic rainbow of the New Age adds white as a seventh color, because Lucifer was known as the white spiritual ray of light, and the seven colors represent the seven levels or rays of initiation into the occult. Combi and the Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow informs us that the New Age movement uses rainbows to signal their building of the Rainbow Bridge, which is a bridge between the personality man and the soul Lucifer, or the great universal mind, Sanat Kumara, as it is put in New Age literature. Satan always tries to ape God, and a worldwide movement to spread Luciferic initiation, a satanic covenant using the sign of a rainbow, is certainly a blasphemous mockery of the eternal covenant. How God will deal with this situation has already been foretold in the Bible, chapter 24 of Isaiah. "The world is pining, withering, the heavens are pining away with the earth. The earth is defiled under its inhabitants' feet, for they have transgressed the law, violated the precept, broken the everlasting covenant." So a curse consumes the earth, and its inhabitants suffer the penalty. That is why the inhabitants of the earth are burnt up, and few men are left. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 4 to 6. A deluge of fire is a worse punishment than a deluge of water. Mary warned the world indeed at Fatima on the 13th of October 1917. It was through her intercession that God performed that miracle involving a multitude of people who saw themselves as colored red, blue, yellow, all the colors of the rainbow, and felt the terror, the fear of God as fire seemed to come down on them from heaven.